Listen to IPR anytime.
Glad you're with us on River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Stanton, and for Ben Kiefer. You want to tune in tomorrow for a News Buzz edition of the program. Host Ben Kiefer will be back in this chair to cover a variety of topics, including talking with a veteran snowplow driver in the Des Moines area about the hazards of snowplow drivers and how things that car drivers do sometimes might complicate snow removal. And Quad Cities reporter Brian Wellner will talk about the death of Benton McKenzie this week, the man who made national headlines after his conviction for growing marijuana to treat a rare form of cancer. That's all tomorrow on the program. Well, this hour, we've been talking about some challenges that small towns face, and now we'll look at how smaller newspapers are refocusing their efforts not only to react to changing demographics in Iowa, but the changing landscape of media. First, let's hear about one effort at community journalism using social media. And my first two guests, Keith Mentor is pastor of the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. Keith Mentor, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. And Linda Goose is editor of the Danish Villages News Facebook page. It's an effort at nonprofit community journalism. Linda Goose, thanks for being here.
Hey, good afternoon.
Well, why don't we start with Keith Mentor? You wanted to start this project, this news project on Facebook. Oh, why?
Well, we had a really good paper here, and unfortunately, because of economics, it closed down, and their last issue was on Christmas Day of last month. And Linda used to work at the paper, and she and I, when that happened, we just sat down. We just had some conversations over it. We really had no plans at all. But then on January 6th, I woke up and had insomnia, was trolling through my Facebook page and saw that there were some other people that had set up what are called pages there, or a place where you could put your business or whatever. And I just investigated to see how easy it was to do. And I thought, if this is really easy, then I'm just going to put one up, and we'll call it Danish Villages News, and we'll invite everybody to post their selfies on that and see if we can't get the news information shared again like it was when we had the paper.
And so it sounds like your goal is not to become the same thing as a newspaper, but to tackle some of those things that a newspaper does that you missed once your paper was gone.
Yeah, on that one point, yes, that is correct. And one of the things is we have a lot of people on Facebook. We're a Danish settlement community, and there are a lot of people in Denmark who are curious about what we do over here. And a lot of those people can see what's going on digitally. At the same time, though, we also felt very strongly there are a lot of people in this community that don't have computers and really need that piece of paper in their hands. So I thought, as a pastor of this congregation here in Elkhorn, Iowa, I already had a job, so I couldn't just start a newspaper and make that my profession. And I had no money, so everything that we had to do had to be totally free at first. But if we could take some of the posts that are on the Facebook page and put them on a sheet of paper and just print them out, maybe have some volunteers help us out with that endeavor, maybe we could put something that looks like a newspaper into the hands of some of these people, especially in our nursing home residents. We have 74 nursing home residents here that have no way of seeing this.
And let's turn to Linda Goose, the editor of the Danish Villages News Facebook page. What kind of things have come across your desk?
Oh, we've had a lot of interesting things. Keith was saying, the interest in Denmark in our community has been very strong, and we're frequently having people from Denmark send us little notes saying, hey, this is what's going on, over in their neck of the woods, and they want to share a piece of them or a piece of themselves as much as they want to see what's going on with us. And, otherwise, we've had, I'm trying to think of what the... most of the, discussion we've had lately has been the start of, some sort of newspaper in the area again with what we're doing. But otherwise, we've had sporting events come up, and that's what we'd like to have people do is if they go to an event, send us a picture, or if they're at a sporting event, let us know what the score was for some of the high school games and things like that, and really get people interactive with what we have going on in the community and sharing it with others.
Sure. Well, so sports games and scores and pictures are one thing. What about people attending council meetings or doing that kind of more what we might think of more traditionally as the work that journalists do?
Yes, our council meetings for the city of Elkhorn and the city of Kimballton, there are actually two villages that are side by side, and this effort is to, you know, go out to both of them. But I believe their city council meetings are on the first Monday of every month or someplace along those lines. So by the time we had established this, and I say we, I mean Keith, who then said, hey, this is what we're doing. But, you know, the first council meeting had passed. But that is something that we've discussed for future things to put into place, is actually cover these meetings and cover more of the political side of what's going on in the communities, which is actually not something that's been addressed for quite a while.
Now, how much time does this work take for you?
I think the hardest thing for us, I mean, as far as getting the information together, hasn't really been an issue. I think Keith would agree with me on this. The longest, most frustrating task thus far is getting it formulated and into print.
Yeah, the printing part is taking the longest. Everything else we are already doing. We're already on Facebook, you know, so it's really nothing to press a button to send it over to another face page. In terms of time, and I would say also that it's been really good for me as a minister to connect in with the community in ways that I normally wouldn't do. I ended up at an art guild meeting that I normally wouldn't go to, and met with people over there. And there was a ribbon cutting at a coffee shop in town that I had a chance to get down and talk to the owner for a few minutes that I probably wouldn't have done normally as a minister. So it's just kind of there's a lot of overlap in terms of the amount of time that it takes for us to do this.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us to talk about it today. We appreciate it, and good luck to you. Keith Mentor, pastor of Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Linda Goose, editor of the Danish Villages News Facebook page, an effort at nonprofit community journalism with hopes for the future to grow. Linda Goose, thank you for talking with us today.
Thanks for having us on.
This is Rivet River from Iowa Public Radio News. We want to hear from you. Do you read a small city or town newspaper? What's the value of you to that paper? And you can call us at 866-780-9100. That's 866-780-9100. Or email rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're going to turn to what we think of as more traditional newspapers and introduce my next guest. Doug Burns is co-owner of Herald Publishing Company and vice president for news. And his family has operated the Carroll Daily Times Herald since 1929. Doug Burns joins us over the phone. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ben, for having me.
Well, first, let's talk about what you think of efforts like we were just discussing in Elkhorn to do, at least for now, a nonprofit community journalism using the many, many tools that are out there with social media. What's your reaction to those sort of efforts?
Oh, I think they're, you know, you can certainly tell the community passion in the pastor's voice. So I would say that the effort that he and the former editor have there I would describe it as noble, futile, and unsustainable. You know, Facebook's really just what they're trying to do sounds to me like sort of a blend of crowdsourcing with citizen journalism. And that can work to a degree if you know, you have a fairly sensational local story, like an elected official getting an OWI and people want to, you know, comment about that. Exira Elkhorn Kimballton has a terrific football team, and if the team makes it to state, certainly there'll be a lot of people interested in that. But you really posed, Ben, I thought, the operative key question, which is, you know, what about the council meetings? What about the Board of Supervisors meetings? And, you know, who's going to cover the sort of the nuts and bolts of that local coverage? You know, who's going to be at the supervisors' meetings? Who'll catch the misspellings and the obits and spend hours cultivating sources and just making sure that the legals and other items are published properly? You know, a lot of people look at reporting and writing the way non-golfers look at golf on television. It just looks easy. Anybody can do it. You know, and that's just not the case. There is skill in distilling information, and the community expects sort of a dignified presentation of information. And when you have a page like they're suggesting that gets sort of caught up in the clutter of Facebook with pictures of cats and cute kids and bad jokes, I just don't think it'll give the community the same kind of voice that a newspaper does.
Do your papers use Facebook?
We use Facebook to guide people to the paper product, and we have e-editions, so we use those tools to sort of complement or supplement the meat of our work. But if you want to know the world as our newspapers report them, the best way to do that is, and really the only way to do it, is to pick up the paper or subscribe to the e-edition, which is a PDF version of the paper.
So although your Facebook posts might also get mixed up in cat pictures, you have something else that you're directing them towards, it sounds like.
It's an ancillary part of what we do. We use it really as a marketing tool to direct people to the actual traditional newspaper. So we use Twitter, we use Facebook, we're not using Instagram yet. Those are just tools that we use. That's not our product. It's a tool to direct people to our product, Ben.
Well, I want to talk about your paper, the Carroll Times-Herald bought the Jefferson Bee and Herald 2 years ago, I believe,
yeah.
and then later bought the Guthrie Center Times and several other papers, I guess more recently. Why? Why did that happen?
Well, we believe in rural America, and we believe in our business model, which is providing robust news in a community. We really load up on the news side, and I think we dedicate more resources to content production, news gathering in the traditional shoe leather way than other papers do. And we had a good friend who was publisher of the paper in Jefferson, Rick Moraine, and we had terrific success after with that paper when we purchased it. And so we're working hard to replicate what we're doing in Jefferson, in Guthrie County and Adair County.
Well, as I mentioned, your family has operated the Carroll Daily Times-Herald since 1929. Of course, a very different media landscape now than in 1929. But what more recently has changed for you, and especially as it might relate to how you're collaborating or combining with other papers now?
Well, we do need to take advantage of economies of scale, and while the areas we serve, we're confident in the futures here, and we think there's a lot of vitality in rural America. I think we have to be, newspapers have always good small newspapers. Governor Branstad once told me that it was just actually a couple of months ago before the election that every good town in Iowa had at least a good newspaper and one good bank. And I believe that, but our papers now really have to be, much more involved in economic development, trumpeting the good things that are happening in communities, and being at the table to try to drive development and projects. That doesn't mean if something negative happens, like we cover Manning in with the Carroll Daily Times-Herald, and there've just been some terrific things happening in Manning, but their superintendent a few years ago did something that wasn't, their former superintendent, I believe, did something that wasn't necessarily the brightest thing. And, of course, we covered that, and it garnered national news. So, it doesn't mean we look the other way and we're just a complete shill for a town, but it does mean that we have to use the editorial pages, to really, really promote a progress in communities in a way that maybe in the 1950s you didn't have to in rural Iowa.
Well, explore that a little more with me. So you're saying, clearly, you're not ignoring bad news. That's not something you do. But you are finding good news. And so you're saying that helps to drive development. Help me understand how the connection fits.
Well, for example, like there will be a bond issue in Adair County soon related to improving schools. And we've had some bond issues here in Carroll related to public works projects, libraries, things like that. And I think the newspapers, our newspapers take strong editorial positions promoting those collective projects. In Jefferson, for example, we ran strong editorials supporting a vote, a gaming vote, and then the arrival of Wild Rose Resort and Casino. and we were at the table and played a role in the development of Greene County as Governor Branstad's lead home base Iowa city. That's part of the program to attract returning military men and women. So a strong newspaper really does need to get involved in the community and promote those sorts of things and be involved in economic development organizations and work whenever there's an opportunity to attract business, attract residents, and those sorts of things. Now, that doesn't mean you throw out the sheriff's report or that you don't run a story on the front page if there's a rape in the community or a murder in a neighboring town. We certainly have, I think, in Carroll, thanks to a terrific reporter we have here, Jared Strong, I would say we have some of the best courts and crime coverage of any small newspaper or any newspaper, that matter, in the state of Iowa.
I want to bring another voice into the conversation. We've been talking with Doug Burns, co-owner of Herald Publishing Company and vice president for news, talking about the role of small-town newspapers. Now I want to talk with Jake Krobe. Of course, Doug Burns, please stay with us. Jake Krobe is the editor and co-publisher of the Mount Vernon Lisbon Sun, and his company started buying papers in 2001. And Jake Krobe, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, is this what you're hearing from Doug Burns? Is it, does that jibe with you?
Oh, no, absolutely. We have seven weekly newspapers all in Eastern Iowa, my business partner and I. And, it's interesting. I think with all of the technology today, with Facebook and Twitter, is people are busy and there's a lot of information out there. And we spend a tremendous amount of resources telling our readers what's the important stuff for their communities, and we're really focused on using our newspapers to help them be engaged in the place they call home.
That must be a challenge when you're, as we're mentioning, you're buying papers in other communities to make that connection and to show what's important when you might not have as many connections with people in another area.
Yeah, and that's why our model is very clear. I'm a working editor in Mount Vernon, Lisbon, and I'm covering school board meetings and helping with some sporting events and covering community celebrations. And so we hire good people in those other towns and say, okay, this is your job to get to know your community. I'm not going to sit here in Mount Vernon and tell the West Liberty Index newspaper editor what he needs to do that week.
Going back to Doug Burns, we've mentioned several times your family has been connected with the paper for a long time, and going into these other areas where you don't have that family connection, what might that say about those changing demographics? We were talking about in the first half of the show where people might be moving from rural areas to more urban areas. Are you seeing that with in your efforts in newspapers?
Certainly, that's a concern for all of rural Iowa. That that you see Dallas County and the suburbs around Des Moines growing, but we're seeing strong growth in Jefferson, for example, as a result of a lot of manufacturing development there. A new Hy-Vee is going to be opening in the next couple of weeks, and of course the casino will be arriving. And Carroll, because of our foresighted leadership and just our geographic positioning between Omaha, Council Bluffs, Sioux City, and Des Moines, we remain a retail center. And our former mayor, Ed Smith, used to refer to Carroll as a suburb that's not attached to a city. So we have sort of a lot of the same suburban amenities that other suburbs have, but we're not connected to a city. So I think our part of the state is really thriving and actually poised for some growth, but I do agree with your other guest about having strong editors at other newspapers. That the other newspapers we have their own identities and have very, very strong editors. And your other guest is just absolutely spot on. Those editors have to have the freedom to make the calls and understand their communities and cover them without regulations and determination from the high command, so to speak.
Well, we're going to run out of time in a few minutes, but I wanted both of you to address the future of newspapers, especially as we've been talking about changing demographics in the state and how newspapers might be looking to the future. if this trend will continue of newspapers buying other papers, I mean, is that what we're looking at in the future? Or what's your crystal ball say? First, Jake Krobe?
Well, I think the economically makes sense to have a group of newspapers, and we can share resources and staff to some extent. I believe in small towns. I think people move to these small towns because they want to be engaged with their community. They want to be involved. And part of that involvement is reading their weekly newspaper. So I'm pretty bullish on it. And I also believe that, you know, we offer a really effective, efficient, and affordable way for local businesses to market their products and services. And I think the future is bright for us.
Doug Burns?
I completely agree with Jake on that. And I would just say that, you know, amid the electronic clutter, I think there still is a lot of value in the traditional newspaper, and people look to it to sort of cut through that clutter. The University of Iowa did a survey here in Carroll in October and November, their Institute of Public Affairs, and asked, how do you get your news about Carroll? 83.3% of the people who responded to that said the Daily Times Herald, our newspaper. The city website and some other web ventures were well below 8% on that poll. So, you know, small newspapers are still really strong in rural Iowa, and for rural Iowa to continue to have a strong voice, people need to subscribe and support papers like the one here in Carroll and the one in Mount Vernon.
Thanks so much, Doug Burns, co-owner of Herald Publishing Company and vice president for news. Thanks for being here today. And Jake Krobe, editor and co-publisher of the Mount Vernon Lisbon Sun, thank you for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us today. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. The executive producer of talk shows is Catherine Perkins, assistance from Dennis Reese today. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. For Ben Kiefer, I'm Ben Stanton. Thanks for joining us.